Lovely indeed. Well, yesterday morning, when you were nice and warm at the house, we were out here in the parking lot giving away Bibles. And I guess as we added it up, we gave away, I think, 40 copies of the scriptures in a combination of English and Spanish. And so we're grateful for that. But please, we covet your prayers for that work, for that ministry. We certainly want to see the Lord use it in people's hearts and lives. Talk to so many folks with so many issues, so many things going on. We realize, of course, from this side of it, they need the Lord. They need the Lord Jesus Christ to enter in and do for them. And of course, Brother Netterville, Debbie Netterville, were with us yesterday, and they stayed around. We didn't scare them off. And so Brother Netterville is going to come and preach for us this morning. So, Brother, please come. May the Lord bless.
Thank you, preacher. Good to be back at Metropolitan. And I don't know about y'all. I enjoy this time of year. Amen. I better get rid of this. Last time, we were going to have a baptismal service with that, and it didn't work out, amen? And I know, I just know it'll end up on the floor, so it's best that I just get rid of it now, amen? Anyway, I don't know about y'all, I love Christmas time. How many of y'all like Christmas? Amen? You know, it really is exciting for, I guess, to me, let me put it like this, as a Christian, it's more exciting now than it was when I was a kid. I don't know about y'all. Christmas was always exciting as a kid, even though I grew up in church. It was more about, you know, Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not mad at Santa Claus, all right? I kind of like that guy. He showed up at my house, seemed like, when I was a kid. Then he quit coming. I don't know what happened. But anyway, once I got saved, and that wasn't until I was 23 years old, Christmas just means a whole different thing. Amen? And I enjoy the Christmas time. I enjoy all the decorations. I enjoy just being down at the house of God, being able to sing the songs, you know, the Christmas carols. I don't know about you. I get disappointed. How many of y'all listen to the radio stations that they say they're playing Christmas music? Anybody listen to that? Am I the only heathen in here? What is wrong with y'all? How many of y'all like Christmas? Let me see your hand. Do any of y'all, for real now, do any of y'all listen to the radio stations that they say, okay, there's a few honest people. Now, look, I don't know about y'all, but those stations disappoint me. I mean, I don't know what, you know, I gave you my heart last Christmas, and how many of y'all get sick of that one? Amen? I don't even know what all that means. But now that I'm saved, and I get to come down to the house of God, to me, man, it's an exciting time that as Christians we celebrate the birth of our Savior, how that Jesus, as the Son of God, is born of a virgin named Mary. You know, the world doesn't get why. Man, we understand why that's important. Amen. Hey, without him being born of a virgin, there is no precious blood for us to be redeemed with. Amen. And the world doesn't get all of that, but we get it, and we enjoy that story. I hope you do anyway, about Jesus coming and being born, and we celebrate his birthday on Christmas Day, and as the world sings songs about Santa Claus and reindeer, we sing songs about, oh, come all ye faithful, and Silent Night, and like we did a while ago, Away in the Manger, and as they tell stories of snowmen, and the night before Christmas, we quote scripture that deals with Bethlehem and angels and shepherds and mangers. In fact, if you would turn over to Luke chapter 2 this morning, Luke chapter 2, Man, just one of the, I guess I would call it this, just the precious story of the Lord's birth. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 6 and just read down through verse 14 there. Just the precious story that we have here of Christ's birth and just a small portion of it. Again, I don't know about you if you've ever thought about, you know, how that as Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem, listen, the last thing Joseph wanted to do is take Mary down to Bethlehem. Now, he's having to go down there, I think, in his mind, last thing he wants to do, first, here he's got a fiance that's expecting, and he's fixing to have to face a bunch of family and have to pay taxes as he goes. Amen? I don't know about you, but that is not the fun things of life. Amen or not now? Y'all help me out. I mean, that's kind of a negative thing. Amen? But they get down there. Verse 6, if you would, there in Luke chapter 2, it says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there is no room for them in the inn. And there were in this same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I don't know about you, but man, that's a great story. Amen. How that here's this young virgin girl that is going to give birth to our Savior. And when she does, heaven itself declares the glory of our Savior being born. That's, I mean, for Christians, y'all, let's be honest. Man, what an exciting time for us as the people of God to think on that story and how great a story it is that Jesus was born into this world. Man, what an exciting story. But if you would, take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's another story that I want to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that Paul talked about, that Peter preached about. And as wonderful and as great as the story is of Christmas, and of course the Bible doesn't call it Christmas, that's us, but of the birth of our Savior, and boy, all the celebrations, and I mean, so many parties. I think preacher is he's just about partied out, he said, and but I mean, how exciting! I know we all look forward to that Christmas morning and maybe going out there and finding a present under the tree with your name on it and all that kind of stuff. Man, exciting time. Great story that we have there. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read the first few verses here and look at another story that we find, I believe, even a greater story than that one of Jesus' birth. Paul writes here, "And brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you," he says, "the testimony of God." And I don't know about you, but that's pretty powerful testimony. Amen? The testimony of God. Listen to what Paul says here. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I want to just take this morning, if I could, and I want to talk about this story. And just kind of ask the question this morning, why this story? Paul said there in verse 2, look at it again, "For I determined not to know anything among you," here's the story, "save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." As great a story as the Christmas story is, you'd think, man, that'd be the story that as we go as Christians, boy, that'd be the story to tell. How our Savior condescended to men and became His man, born in the flesh. What an exciting time. And even the heavens declared His birth. But Paul said, wait a minute, that's not the story I come with as I came to the city of Corinth. He said, I came with a different story. He said, this story was the story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I want to preach just for a little bit this morning on why this story. Let's pray and we'll look at the message. Father, as we come and bow before You, Lord, You are a great God, and we sure do love You. And Lord, no doubt we need You this morning. Lord, as great a time as we have during this Christmas season, God, the truth is there's even a greater story. That story of when You gave Yourself on that old rugged cross, and shed that precious blood that we might be saved. Would You help me this morning, please, Spirit of God, to preach on this story? God, use the message, please. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray that they'd listen to this story. God, that it'd be the story that had changed their life forever. We need You now this morning. God, we pray this morning for the little family and for Ben. God, please be with them. But Lord, we need You here also. We love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I figured I'd better get that in real quick. All right. Listen. Paul writes a letter back to the church at Corinth. He had been there at some exciting times. We find as he writes the letter there to Corinth, man, a lot of things that he had to deal with. But before he really deals with all the problems there in Corinth, he wrote to him and he says this, man, I determined when I came not to know anything else except one thing. One central message that he preached throughout Corinth there. He said, is this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why that story? What is it about that story that was so important? What was it about that story that, I mean, again, the story of Christmas is so exciting. The stories that we read back in what we call the Gospels, how that Jesus had, man, the Bible says it this way, that if everything was written about all the things that Jesus had done, the world itself couldn't contain the book. And so there were so many stories that could have been told as Paul went to Corinth. I mean, there were stories of, man, remember the one of Lazarus being raised from the dead? I don't know about you, and I think I've probably said something about it here before, but, man, when Jesus cried out there at Lazarus' tomb, first they roll the stone away. They tell Him, wait a minute, Jesus. More than likely, He's stinking by now. It's going to be pretty offensive. And Jesus says, roll back the stone. They do. And then He says, Lazarus, come forth. And man, when He does, I don't know if Lazarus did the bunny hop to get out of there, or if he just floats out of, I'm not sure, preacher. I'm not that much of a theologian. I don't know what he did to get out of there, but I know here he comes out of that tomb, and he tells the folks, loose him and let him go. I mean, take the bindings off of him, and man, what a story that would have been to tell, amen? The stories of how he there was times that he would take and heal blind folks. I mean, I don't know about you, but had I been one of those folks, I'd think that's a pretty good story to tell as you go. Amen. I mean, a story about Jesus, I think that'd be probably one of the, to me, if I was one of those blind fellas and he had made, remember that time he made mud pies and he put them on the fellow's eyes and he told him, go and wash. And then, and he did, and he comes back seeing. I mean, that's a pretty great story. Amen. What about the time, remember Brother Daniel, come here, Brother Daniel, help me out here. Remember that guy that was deaf?
No.
And he,
no.
You must remember the story. Isn't that what he did? He said he spit on his finger and then he gave the guy a wet willy.
Yeah.
Amen. And then the guy hears. We were just going to reenact that, brother. All right, well, what a great story, amen or not? Remember the 10 lepers?
Yeah.
How those fellows get healed, only one of them comes back and thanks the Lord and praises him for what he had done. Man, what a great story that would have been to tell as he went to the city of Corinth. But it's not, none of those stories were the story that he chose to...
Right.
Tell.
Man.
He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And him crucified.
Amen.
What a story.
Yeah.
Let's just go through that for a minute. Remember, the reason for that story is this. That's the story of salvation. See, you cannot get saved because of his birth. Now, obviously, we had to have his birth, had to be born of a virgin, amen, to produce the precious blood that would redeem us. But that story of his crucifixion, the Bible says, when he died, that's the story that produced salvation. And see, you and I, we're in trouble.
Yes, we were.
We were in sin.
Yes.
Not just like Brother Gary had said this morning, not because we had sin, but because it's our nature.
Yeah.
The fact of sin is we're sinners by nature. You cannot help but sin. It was what you do as you were born. I remember, I've used this many times as an illustration of the fact of sin. When I was just a little boy, my mom was leaving to go next door, and I asked her, I said, Mom, could I have some cookies? And she said, no. But she left and went next door to Miss Baggett's house. And so I think, Brother Daniel, I was about 4 years old. I crawled up on the counter, and I got in a cookie jar. Man, I was having a good time, amen? Crumbs all over my face, crumbs all over the counter. Mom walks in, good time's over, amen? She said, Scott, you been in that cookie jar? What did I tell her? That's exactly what I... Why'd I lie like that? My mom never sat me down and taught me how to tell a lie. Yet I knew... how to lie because it was my nature.
Yeah.
It's your nature. Yeah. Our nature is to sin against the law of God. Every one of us have done things we knew there's wrong, yet we did them anyway.
Yeah.
Didn't have to be taught that. Just by nature, we do that. It's the fact of sin. The Bible says there, is a consequence for sin. The consequence being that we read in Romans chapter 6 in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. I like the end of that verse there. It says, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, we've all worked the work of sin, amen or not. Isn't that right? And because we have, the Bible says we've earned to ourselves a consequence. That consequence is death. By the way, it's not just a physical death. The Bible describes it as a second death. You know, I've asked people that many times. Have you ever seen that in the Bible where it talks about a second death? You know, most people have never read that. I'll tell them, listen, it's not something spooky or mysterious. And we'll turn back there to Revelation 21:8, where it says this, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, the wage of sin is not just a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. It's a death to our soul.
Yes, sir.
You and I, because of the fact of sin, deserve hell. We're guilty before God.
Amen.
We've broken His law. We could not help ourselves. It's our nature. We've earned to ourselves that consequence of death in hell, where it says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. But, man, I'm so glad that word's there in Romans 6:23. Amen. He said, but the gift of God. Listen, I've earned to myself a death in hell. That's the wage that's due. But I'm so glad God has a gift.
Amen.
Man, we celebrate that at this time of year. We talk about the gift giving and all that stuff. And I already know some of the things I'm getting. Amen. I like that. Now, y'all don't peek, amen? Y'all cut that out. But it says the gift of God is eternal life. You know, a lot of times as we talk to people about salvation, many times we'll ask them this. I've done it, I don't know, thousands of times. Listen, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Now, I think that's a legitimate question. I think it's a good way to start the conversation. But understand, salvation is not heaven, and it's this. It's the forgiveness of sin. See, that's what God wants to deal with. We're sinners, and we need forgiveness. It's not just eternal life. That's a benefit. It's not just heaven. That's a benefit of salvation. He said the gift of God's eternal life, though, through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know about you, but I do. I like Christmas. I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy Christmas morning. I do. I get up on Christmas morning, Miss Michelle. I go out there. I look, and there's always presents got my name on it. Amen. My wife gives me stuff, and it don't cost me nothing. Yeah. But God has a gift for us. That gift, he said, is eternal life. Didn't come free, by the way. Paul told us, the price was this, was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The truth is, the only remedy for sin is what Jesus did on the cross. We read it this morning in Sunday school, there in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, there's something about that gift. I don't know if you've thought about it much, but to the person getting the gift, it's absolutely free. But to the person giving the gift, they have to pay the price. See, the Bible says eternal life is God's gift to us. He had to pay the price. The price, he said, was this. It was death. That's why Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, when He was crucified, He purchased that forgiveness of sin for us. He purchased eternal life for us. I am so thankful. So thankful that I know that story this morning. We're not worthy of that gift, but thank God for it. Amen. The remedy for sin. Understand, it's not just the death, though. You ever thought about this? Man, we celebrate the resurrection at Easter time. Amen? That's always a good time. The world's taken and turned it into bunny rabbits and Easter eggs. But you stop and think, why is the resurrection so important? Listen to this. It's important, listen, because it proved Jesus had victory over sin and death. Thereby, He and He alone can forgive sin. There's no others ever resurrected from the dead like that. And today, back then even, we can preach that message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and then the resurrection to prove that there's victory over sin and death through Christ. He can forgive sin. And then God said this, it's just an individual response from there. It's up to each individual to respond to that story of the cross. How that Jesus had come, how He died, gave Himself, shed His blood so that you and I might be forgiven, so that you and I might be saved. I'm convinced with all my heart. Listen, every time that you and I begin to tell that story, every time that Paul here in the city of Corinth would tell that story, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is dispatched from heaven and wanting to convict and draw all men to Him. Not everybody will hear. We understand that. But that's not God's fault. God said this. He wants this response. It's as simple as back in Romans chapter 10. If you would, turn there with me. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. I'm going to start reading there. He says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at this now. He said, for with the heart, you see that? Man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My, what a story. That all you and I have to do, as the Spirit of God convicts our hearts, is call out to God saying, I'm guilty. God, I deserve hell. See, I still believe with all my heart of old-fashioned faith and repentance. You cannot get saved without them. There must be faith that Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross was the only thing that could deal with my sin. And I must be willing to say to God, God, I've been headed in a wrong direction, and I repent. God, would you forgive me? God, I'm guilty. I deserve hell. Would you save me? The Bible says here, it declares plainly in verse 13, for whosoever, that's anybody, that's everybody,
amen,
for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a story, what a message. Of all the stories in the Bible that we could tell, the greatest is the story Paul took there to Corinth. I'd say first, why this story? Because it's the message of salvation. This morning, if you would trust that message, you can be saved. You can be forgiven of all sin. But can I say also this morning, it's a story of transformation. It's a story. Man, when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Bible says this, behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Man, I'm so glad that I did not stay the same once I got saved, amen? And many of you have heard my part of my testimony before. As a 23-year-old young man, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I was one of those long-haired 60s, 70s hippies, motorcycle riding, drug dealing, ungodly lifestyle. But I was pretty, amen? So, yeah. But thank God that when I got saved, I did not stay like that.
Amen.
Thank God that, I know not everybody's like me. I'd grown up in church, and so I knew immediately when I got saved. I got saved on Monday morning about 6:30. I dealt drugs to there at the steel mill where I worked on Friday. I was telling them about Jesus on Monday. And I'm telling you, nobody had to invite me to church. Wednesday night came around. Man, I got home from work. I got in there, got me a shower, and I put on some good clothes, and I went down to Trinity Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas. That's where I'd grown up. Didn't live but about a mile and a half from there. I remember walking in that night, and man, it was new, Brother Wayne. It was a different place to me. Wasn't like it had been before. I wanted to be there now. I was excited to be there. It was a thrill. And then I remember the preacher that evening. They you forgive me. It was a good church, but they had a GA program that evening. Anybody know what GAs are? That's Girls in Action. It's a Southern Baptist missions group for girls. And they had their awards and stuff that evening. Brother Ansley didn't even preach. I told him after the service, I was mad because I wanted to hear some preaching. But he did this. He still gave an invitation. Amen. He knew I was there, and he knew I'd gotten saved. Mama had already told him. He gave an invitation, and I walked that aisle that Wednesday night. I was so excited.
Amen.
Nobody had to beg me to go down there. Nobody asked me to go. I just knew. I'm new, and I ought to go. That place is my home now. I remember walking that aisle that Wednesday night. Brother Ansley knew my life. He knew my lifestyle. He had been my pastor really since I was a toddler. Brother Ansley looked at me as I came down front, and he said this, "What do you want?" I said, "Good night." That's not the normal thing a pastor asks somebody when they come forward. I said, "Brother, I've been running from God, and I got saved. I want to come and join this church."
Amen.
He did something that I thought, good night. He told me, "Get up there and tell the people." I said, "Do what?" Now, you got to understand, this is a church that on Wednesday nights ran about 400 or 500. I was, get up there and tell the people. The thing was that most of them knew me. They knew I'd grown up in that church. I'd rebelled against God when I was 16 and quit going. Now I was 23. And that story of the cross had transformed my life. Can I say God's still not through with me? But I'm sure thankful that he's still working on me. Amen? And that story is a story of transformation. Salvation produces lives lived sacrificially. Dying to self to live for Christ. I think this. Listen, you and I as believers should not be able to think of living for Christ without thinking of this word. Just holy. Holy. Let me close with this. Why this story? Well, why not stick with that story when it produces the greatest result known to man? Tell me one other story that had produced such great results. The story that you and I have heard, look at it. Can I be honest? Not every church is full, especially in this COVID age, but can I say this story has filled many a church pew.
Amen.
This story has changed many a life. It's this story that Paul preached, that we've preached this morning. It's this story that'll forgive your sin.
Amen.
That'll transform your life and produces the greatest result ever known to man. Let me close with the scripture. Acts chapter 13, if you would look there. To me, this is the greatest result. It is amazing to me. Talked about how that salvation, beginning at the beginning of the message, is not just eternal life in heaven. Acts chapter 13, if you would, look to verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, look at this, the forgiveness of sin. Verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified. Look at this. Justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. When God looks at you and I once we're saved, this is how he sees us. It's just as if you had never sinned. No wonder Paul told that story. Of all the stories that he could tell, the one of Jesus Christ and him crucified is the greatest story that's ever told. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Let me ask you today, have you responded to that story? Oh, Christmas, and that story's so fun. The stories of the healings and resurrections are great. But what about this story of salvation? Have you ever responded to that? Have you ever come to Christ and said, I'm guilty? I deserve hell. Would you forgive me? Would you save me? And he says, for whosoever shall call shall be saved. If you're not saved this morning, I'd encourage you to come this morning and respond as an individual to that story. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this morning, how many of you would say, preacher, I have responded to that story before. Without a doubt, if I died today, I know that there is a time in my life When I realized I wasn't just a good church member, that couldn't do anything for me. Baptism couldn't help me. Church membership, turning over a new leaf, none of it could help me. I realized that Jesus Christ and Him crucified and me confessing sin was the only thing that could help me. If that's your testimony, you've been saved, would you just slip your hand up this morning? Preacher, I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I died right now, heaven's my home. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there anybody this morning that you'd be honest with God? You'd say, Lord, I'm not really sure I'm saved, but I know this, I want to be. I saw some that, as you raise your hands, kind of just hesitating. You're maybe not sure. You'd like to be saved, but you're not sure. Why don't you deal with that this morning? Maybe you'd say, preacher, I know for sure I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ. But I know this, I don't want to go to hell. I'd like to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody that'd be honest, preacher? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, you just slip your hand up, preacher. I'm not sure about that. I see that hand. Anybody else this morning, you'd raise your hand, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Please let me pray for you. I cannot save you, but I can pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work in your heart and give you the boldness and the faith to step out in a moment and come as we give an invitation that you might be saved. Anybody else, you'd raise your hand, preacher. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you know this morning the hearts. Lord, as best I know how, I've preached the story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What a precious story it is. Lord, I pray especially for this one that raised their hand and said they're not saved, but they'd like to be. Please, would you give them the courage and the boldness to step out as we start the invitation in just a minute, to come and to let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Thank you, Lord, that you still love us. Thank you that you still are drawing people. God, if there's anyone here, maybe they didn't raise their hand, they should have. Maybe they raised their hand, said they were saved, but they're really unsure. God, please help them to come this morning. Lord, please. Save folks today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What number are you going to sing, brother?
139.
139. If you'd like to come, please, don't hesitate. Wouldn't you come this morning? Let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Listen, this is the crowd that's for you this morning.
Amen.
This crowd wants you to be saved. Wouldn't you step out and come as we sing?
On the night Christ was born, just before the
rain. You raised your hand and said, I'd like to be saved.
I God this morning.
No greater day, no greater time than right now. You just step out and say, I want to get it settled. I want to be saved. I don't want to have it now. I don't want to end up.
Jesus, please.
Christ indeed was crucified, put to death, shed his blood, pay the price of our sin that we could be forgiven. To know, have that precious knowledge that we've been washed in that blood of the Lamb, sins gone, made right with God. To know, again, that beautiful word that we've been forgiven. I plead with you. If you're here this morning and there's any question, any doubt of where you're going to spend eternity, why would you leave this place and not make that certain? Why would you go home to the house and not have that peace and confidence, the assurance, I know where I will spend eternity? I called out to the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior, to forgive me of my sin. Dear one, we're going to sing one more verse. Please come. Please deal with that right now. That you can have that peace, that knowledge. I know where I will spend eternity because of what Jesus has done for me. As we sing, please obey the Lord. One more verse.
From his throne, Jesus came, lay aside heaven's stain, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain, suffered loss, for my sin he bore the cross. He was wounded, and I was set free.
Talk about a story that all my guilt was put on Jesus. He carried it all, mine, yours, to Calvary. Laid down his life, shed his blood, so that you and I could rejoice in him in these days. What a story. Huh? I'm determined, Paul said. His one and only message was going to be that Jesus died for sin. He was crucified for us. Huh? Yes, we're going into this holiday season, and we'll be thinking all about a lot of emphasis on the nativity. Well, I haven't put my Christmas lights up yet. Shame on me. But when I put up those Christmas lights, I put a cross in the yard.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. In front of that cross, there's a cradle. A cradle done gone by the wayside. It fell apart. But he was born to die.
Yeah. Right.
The message.
That's right.
Huh? Bethlehem just pointed the way to Calvary. Where Jesus laid down his life for us. Again, just once, if you are here and there's any question in your heart where you, whether you're right with God, whether you're forgiven, the altar's not the only place you can get saved.
Right.
Amen. Get saved at the house. Right. What did Paul say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, save me. What was the thief's cry? Be merciful to me. Huh? Amen. Thank you, Brother Netterville. Thank you for the tremendous message. Lord bless you. Amen, Brother John.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, O Come All Ye Faithful. O Come, Let Us Adore Him. O Come, Let Us Adore Him.